welcome to Paint Ed. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, go to pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all you non-members out there, sign up for our free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the Apple Store and Google Play. Today, we feature audio from the Elite Business Advice Podcast with Chris Moore. In this episode, Chris talks with Matt Warren, a commercial banker from Carrollton Bank, about financing and different ways to grow your business.
Matt, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of what you do with Carrollton Bank.
So I'm a commercial banker at our Edwardsville location for Carrollton Bank. But really, I do loans and stuff really throughout St. Louis.
Okay.
You know, a lot of what I do is on the Illinois side. Gotcha. Do a lot in Belleville and O'Fallon, but also do a lot in St. Louis and Maryland Heights, Creve Coeur, downtown St. Louis, you name it. So, yeah, I've really been doing banking since I got out of college, which is about 15 years ago.
That's awesome. Most I thought you were going to say 2 years, but, you know.
Yeah. Be a lot different back then.
Right, exactly.
So, so I've been doing banking for quite a bit. Most of my career has been on the credit analysis or underwriting side for commercial banking, which is kind of a little bit different aspect than some commercial bankers. But it gives me kind of a good background when I talk to businesses about their financials and stuff. You know, it makes it easier for them to, like, I can ask the questions directly instead of having to go back to an underwriter.
So, because you've been through the process.
Yeah, I've been through the process. I know what it looks like from an underwriter standpoint, you know, the kind of trigger points that we're looking for. So I've really been doing that. Live in Edwardsville.
And that's awesome.
You know, three kids, wife. You know,
so that keeps you busy.
It does. Every day we got something going on.
That's exciting, though. They're getting to a fun age where they're keeping you guys really busy too.
They are. Yeah. Sports and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And we still got a little guy, so he kind of keeps us grounded.
That's good. And young too.
And young. Yeah.
That's awesome. So what are some of the main things that small business owners really come to you for help with, right? So we talk through financing. Some people may understand exactly what we talk through about that, but, like, what are kind of the main things that you see business owners coming to you guys for?
Yeah. So really what our job is to do and what we do for our business owners and clients is we help their business grow is what we do. And when I say that, it's, you know, let's say you rent a space right now and say, hey, we want to own our own building. Well, we help you buy that building.
Yep.
Or you have equipment. Say, hey, we need new equipment or we need new vehicles. We provide financing to do that.
Gotcha.
That's what we do when we say we grow. We help you expand. We put fuel on your fire.
Right.
Is what we do.
That's awesome.
Or what we try to do.
Yep.
You know, it's a measured approach. I mean, we're banking.
Absolutely.
You know, we're all about risk and measuring that and stuff. But that's really what we do. That's the main thing that we do. And then, you know, that's kind of the loan side. Then you have the deposit side, and we can help with cash flow, you know, again, to help kind of make everything a little bit easier for business as they're running business. We try to help make it get easier to get paid, make it easier to, you know, pay other folks and stuff. And so however you want to do that, we have online products and stuff like that. So
cool. So kind of on the financial and the growth side, and then also on just the day-to-day financial side. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So let's talk a little bit about the loan stuff, because that's what I want to focus on mostly here today. We may touch on some of the other stuff, but, you know, you're talking about people getting loans to help grow, you know, maybe they need a, you know, a building, a space, new equipment or something.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, cash flow is tight. It makes sense to do that over a 5 to 10 year, you know, however long you're going to do it, right?
Right.
So what are some things that, you know, what's the kind of the criteria that you guys review when somebody says, hey, Matt, you know, we're sick of renting. We want to look at buying a space here in the next year.
Yep.
What do they need to have? What are you guys looking for? How does that stuff work?
Yeah. So basically, whenever, you know, with a client that we haven't worked with in the past, you know, one of the first things that we like to do is I like to meet them and talk to them, hear their history, how they got to where they are, you know, whether it's a new business or it's an old business.
Right.
There's a lot of value in that like, you know, was it a hustle to get there?
Right.
You know, we like people who go out and grind. Like, we've been doing this for years and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of qualitative measures to that, and, you know, learn about the business and what they do, who they work with, what's their business model.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of qualitative stuff that we look at. And, you know, for us, you know, that's the neat part of it, right?
That's the fun side
of
it. You get to go meet people and hear their story.
And so, but then it comes to the quantitative, information. We have to have some financials. Again, measured approach. We're all about risk and stuff. Yep. And, we don't like to take risk, but we will. But the one things that we look for is, historical performance is usually a good indicator of future performance.
Right.
Take 2020 outside the picture.
Yeah, obviously. That
doesn't count.
That's an anomaly.
Right there. So we take that in consideration. But, if you've had a business that's been growing or it's been stable, we'll look at that and just to see, what does that trend look like? Is it trending up, trending down, flat, all these other aspects. And so, it's usually we're looking for, prior financial information, usually tax returns, financial statements, balance sheets, stuff like that, on the business and for persons, the owners and executive management as well.
Okay.
We're looking for that kind of stuff to kind of gauge,
worthiness.
Worthiness. Yeah. Credit worthiness.
When I think anybody that's listened to this has gone through some sort of a loan process, right?
Yeah.
Whether it was a car loan, a mortgage, a business loan.
Everyone gets it.
Somebody's had something, right? And so people, already kind of understand that there is, you guys are in business as well, just like we're in business.
Yeah,
and everybody listens.
We just happen
to
be a bank.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, we're
so
small
you have
business,
to know
to
how
bank,
you can, protect yourself and make sure you get a return on your money.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
So, so I think it makes sense to do the due diligence, even though sometimes people hate it and we don't like it.
Yeah.
But
I think every bank does it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Some banks are kind of a pain to work with when it comes to the due diligence.
Right.
And, some are a little bit easier.
Right.
Just like
you guys are definitely on the easier side, of course.
I would agree.
I also wouldn't have had you on here today, but I've worked with you before. I know how it is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So I guess kind of on that note then, as you're talking about financials, how much does the owner's personal financials play into the commercial loan process?
Yeah. So they play in a little bit.
Okay.
They still do matter. Typically a traditional commercial loan structure, whether they've got a commercial loan now, or not, but usually the way it works is us as the bank will make the loan to your LLC or corporation,
right.
If you have one.
Yeah.
We'll make it to that entity, but then a lot of times that people are new to it, we have the person or the owner, and it's typically, it's kind of an industry standard. If you're an owner and you own at least 20%, you're going to sign a personal guarantee.
Yeah.
Whether it's for the full loan or it's a portion of the loan. You're going to sign for it. Now, the loan doesn't show up on your credit report.
Right.
It just basically says, hey, if this LLC or corporation decides not to make the payment or it cannot make the payment, you owner and other owners or executive management team, you're responsible for it.
Yep.
So a lot of people, when they set up the LLCs and the corporations, you can't come after me. Well, now the
when you're signing
you're
loan,
responsible.
You can. Yeah.
You're responsible for it.
Right.
And so so it does play into a part. We want to, when we're underwriting a loan, we look at first things that we look at is cash flow of the business. Can it make the payment? Well, if they can't make the payment, then we have collateral.
Right.
And is the collateral sufficient enough if something goes bad that we can liquidate that or the borrower can liquidate it and pay us off? Well, if that doesn't work and there's still a little bit of access, we would say, hey, can the owners and guarantors, do they have enough personal assets or liquidity to get us paid off?
Gotcha.
Or if there's a trouble with the business, to help kind of throw some money into the business while there's a hard time. So we do look at it. The one thing I will say that's kind of a lot of people tell me whenever they apply, hey, my credit score is not that great.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, how not great is it? Well, it's like 660, 680, something like that. Well, the highest question, well, why is that? If it's like a $25 medical collection because you didn't pay a copay, I'm not too concerned about that.
Right.
Is it because you've never met a bill you wanted to pay? I've got an issue with that.
Yeah, that's a different story.
So it's all about context within that credit report, and it's not all about, I got an 800 credit score. That's great. Perfect.
Yep.
Good.
Done.
We haven't really borrowed anything.
Yeah.
Or you've borrowed a lot. So there's little context to it, and it's not – me and in our bank, it's not credit score driven. Some banks still are credit score driven, even on commercial. We're not. There's always a, we have people who are just A-plus borrowers, and they had some sort of collection show up on the account that they were unaware of, and it just really killed their score.
Yep.
I'm not worried about a $100 collection on your cable bill.
Right.
Because of a miscommunication about equipment.
Right.
I'm not too worried about
it. Well, and I think it's cool that you guys are looking at it from the qualitative side in addition to the quantitative side, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's the number side, and you have to manage your risk.
Yeah.
But then there's also, like, the explanation behind it, too, right?
Exactly.
You know, yeah, there's always a story. And then you can kind of take that factor into it.
Exactly.
You know, because I think a lot of people are like, oh, my gosh, this happened. Like, it's black and white. Right? Yeah. Like, eh. So it's nice to hear that sometimes there can be flexibility.
Yeah, there's a gray area.
Yeah.
And like I said, every bank's a little bit different. Yeah. You know, some banks are black and white. Some are live in the gray.
Right.
You know, because we just know how it goes when operating a business.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense. So I've always heard the kind of phrase, get a line of credit set up for your business when you don't need it.
Uh-huh.
Because usually when you need it, you're probably not going to get it.
Right.
Right. So share with me kind of your thoughts on how you guys approach that with your customers.
Yeah. So that's... And that's right, you know, to an extent, you know, and there's a couple reasons why a lot of folks say to do that.
Right.
And one main reason is to do that is like, yeah, if and when you need it, you know, let's say you need it the next day because you got to make payroll and you don't have cash in your account, but you've got all kinds of receivables coming in, but they're coming in next week. Well, you're not going to get a line of credit in a day, you know, to make payroll. So from a timing aspect, you know, if you're in a real bad pinch, you're not going to get it in time to be able to make payroll, or, you know, you got some sort of payable that you got to, you know, have in or something like that. So from a timing aspect, yeah, it might take a week, two, three, depending upon everyone's situation or the bank that you're talking to. It takes time, really, when you need it. And then also in that same situation is, you know, if you've worked with a, you know, if I've worked with a business for a while, you know, 2-3 years or whatever the, you know, 6 months it could be, and, you know, some sort of roadblock or some sort of issue in the business or something happened, you know, it's a lot easier, you know, if you get the line of credit set up like, hey, Matt, here's what's going on.
Right.
You know, we just need to tap the line of credit for a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Right.
But when you come to me and I haven't worked with you before and you say, hey, we need a line of credit, and I don't really know you. I don't know your past performance and stuff and how you kind of treat lines of credit. Yeah. It's a little bit tougher.
Yep.
It's a little bit tougher. So, to kind of protect for the future, it's always good to have one. Now, there are some issues about actually getting it. You know, it's, you know, you do need collateral to secure a line of credit, and sometimes that is difficult for some businesses. But, you know, if you have equipment or accounts receivable or inventory, you know, you know, you might want $100,000 line of credit. You might be able to get like a $25,000, and, you know,
at least it's something to start.
Yeah, it's something to start. And that's, we like to grow with folks. You know, say, hey, you probably could do a $50,000, but you're new to us. Let's start with $25,000. Let's see how it works. Let's see how it works for both. And then we can grow into it.
Yep. No, that's good. Well, I think it's just kind of like any type of insurance, honestly, right? Like, usually when you need your insurance, it's too late.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Hey, just got in a car wreck. Can I get insurance?
Yeah.
Probably not a good opportunity.
Exactly.
Get it before you need it.
Yep.
So.
Exactly. Yeah. And every business, you know, if you got a lot of cash, you might not need it. But most small businesses don't.
Yeah.
They're not sitting on a pile of cash in the bank.
No.
You know, some are, and they're fortunate.
Yeah. But they're going to reinvest it back into themselves and probably wipe it out if they're sitting on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not sitting on the money.
Are they going to go to Florida for a month in the middle of December and, you know, come back and have to build it back up again?
Right. Exactly. 100%. 100%.
So tell me kind of the three most common mistakes you see small business owners make when it comes to commercial lending and their finances and stuff.
Yeah. So one of the biggest mistakes I see is, you know, let's say you're starting, or you're fairly new, or you're starting a new business from an old business or whatever it is. And so, you know, you open a checking account with somebody, with some bank, and, you know, 6 months, a year down the road, it's like, hey, I need to borrow money. When you go to whoever you talk to, they said, oh, well, we don't really do loans to that type of industry.
Right.
Or you don't really have a banker that you can talk to. And you're like, oh, man, well, I just moved all my accounts here. And like, but they don't really do what you do.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a big mistake, is just doing some research on you know, who to be banking with.
Gotcha.
You know, what's a good bank to be doing stuff with? I see a lot of people not doing that.
Okay.
Another one is just being organized. You know, we see.
Preach it.
Yeah. It's it's probably a lot of what you do.
100%.
All the time. It's just being organized.
Yep.
And I get it. You're out in a truck, or you know, you're doing your deal. You're running your business. You know, but just the little things of like having all your financial statements, you know, kind of organized, having you know, any type of documents that you need is organized. It does matter a lot when we get a package in.
Oh, for sure.
Just write out like, hey, here's everything you need. Oh, this is great.
Right.
It's perfect. You know, there's a lot of like deep down inside, I'm just like, okay, this is going to make it a lot easier. Yeah. This is probably going to be easy to work with.
Well, and I think it's a good representation of their business too.
Exactly. But if I'm having to wait a week or two, it's like, oh, I don't know where that's at. Because
they have to go create a profit and loss statement.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. If they don't have
one. Which I'm sure super reliable at that point.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's like, okay, yeah. And so, you know, that's one thing that kind of,
I can see that.
That really, it makes it tough. I mean, it's, but I get it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very empathetic of the situation of like, hey, you're running your business, you know, but it does make it a lot easier if they are organized. And then, you know, just, you know, if you do have a banking relationship, just being, you know, communicate with them.
Okay.
You know, of just, you know, hey, Matt, we're looking to buy this piece of equipment, you know, 2 weeks from now or a month from now or whatever. Like, hey, what does that look
start
like?
Ahead
you know,
of time.
What do we need to have? Like, well, you know, you need 20% down on that.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't have 20% down.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Come back
so,
when you do.
Yeah. Well, and that's part. And sometimes you don't have to. I mean, we can kind of get around that. But it's like, but if you're at the dealer and you call me and you say, hey, Matt, we need to buy this. Like, guys, give me a heads up.
Right.
You know, just give me a heads up. You know, I can make some magic happen every now and then. But like, it's tough. And we have that happen sometimes, and sometimes just a deal comes up that's so good that you just don't have timing and you weren't able to communicate.
And you guys understand that.
Yeah. Or, you know, hey, we just put a contract on this piece of property. Okay. Well, you know, a little heads up would have been nice.
Yeah.
You know, but again, like maybe you don't have your down payment, you're not ready for it. Yeah. And we could have discussed that in the meantime. So just being communicative is kind of letting us in because if we get like, hey, we're doing this, you know, sometimes it's hard to get the turnaround that you need. You know, and so, but yeah, it's usually it's just a discussion of kind of like, hey, here's what we need. And like, you know, sounds good. Let's do it.
Yeah. Cool.
We'll back you.
That's good. Well, and I never really thought about that. The first point you made about banking somewhere that can't service your needs, right?
Yeah.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because it's something I've never, you know, we don't really direct clients to certain banks and stuff. We're probably going to start now after hearing this. But, you know, like we're just, hey, find a place that you're not going to pay, you know, a lot of monthly fees or any if, you know, whatever. Find a place that's convenient to you to go make deposits that's not like, you know, 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
Even though online banking has came a long ways with deposits and stuff. But, you know, like that's kind of when somebody's like, hey, where should I go? And I'm like, here's the things that I usually consider. But I've never really thought about that next step that you mentioned about banking at a place that can help satisfy if you are going to need a loan down the road.
Yeah.
You're going to be growing, right?
Exactly.
So that's a really good perspective. I'm glad you mentioned that.
And for a lot of small businesses that know they need to go the SBA route, well, we're not a big SBA lender.
Gotcha.
You know, so if you say, hey, we need an SBA loan, I'm probably not the best bank for you.
Gotcha.
You know, at some point I might be.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you need an SBA loan, you probably need to go with someone who's really good at SBA loans because it's its own little niche.
Yep.
And there's certain industries that some banks just shy away from.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, like, you know, we haven't had a lot of success in this industry or this type of business.
Right.
So we just don't really do it. We're not that great.
Yeah.
Some banks and bankers, depending upon their experience, are much better than others.
Right.
And it always depends.
Yep.
It always depends. Yeah.
That's good. Well, I know we had Emily Flowers at the USA Mortgage on here a few episodes ago talking about kind of the mortgage process for self-employed people, right? And the big message kind of from that day was plan ahead.
Yeah.
Right? Usually you have to plan 2 years ahead of time because usually when you get a mortgage, self-employed, they need to see at least 2 years, sometimes 1 year. Emily talked through all the details on that.
Yeah.
So how does that kind of work? You know, I know you mentioned about planning ahead.
Yeah.
How does that kind of work in the commercial side of things? You know, is big purchases something you need to plan years ahead for? Smaller purchases, maybe a month or two if everything's ready? Like kind of what's your advice for people in that regard?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you know, mortgage world with self-employed is much difficult.
Yes.
Much more difficult than it is on the commercial. It is. You know, we do our bank in general does a lot of mortgage loans and you know we're a commercial bank so we do a lot of self-employed.
Yeah.
It's a lot more difficult
yeah.
on the mortgage well, for side. Sure. It just is and I'm sure that's probably what she relayed but it's a little bit easier but bigger purchases, you know if you're looking to go out and buy a $1 million building, I mean if that's on your, you know, kind of your radar, your goal, you probably need to like kind of figure that out about a year, you know, year or so, whatever it is, 6 months. Small purchases like equipment and stuff, you know, you don't have as, you know, you could a week
yeah.
to plan it. If right. you have a banking relationship.
Yep.
Now, if you don't,
different story.
You're talking months.
Yeah.
Because again, because what I tell people is like, you know, there are a few different banks in St. Louis. Well, St. Louis is generally overbanked.
Right.
But
and there's still new ones opening
every
day.
They're open all the time. Yeah. And so they just are. And but what I tell folks is, you know, there's different banks, there's different bankers. You know, you need to find one that you can establish a good working relationship with.
Right.
You know, everyone's got different personalities. Like, you know, I do things a certain way.
Right.
But even other bankers in our bank do a separate way.
Yeah.
You know, just the way we do our things with our clients and stuff, the way we talk, the way we handle stuff, you know. So it's good to be able to go out like, hey, I got to buy a $1 billion building or something like that. I need to find someone I can really work with, have a nice conversation with.
They understand us.
They understand, and you know, we get along okay. Right. We have some commonalities, and you know, just having a relationship. Because really, as a banker, we're looking to establish relationships with people for years,
yeah,
if not decades.
Right.
You know, I got to be doing this for another 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to be able to grow with these people.
Right. And know,
you know,
who they are, where they
yeah,
came from.
Yeah, I
want to
be their
going.
Banker. That's the whole shtick for us.
So. Right. And I think it's a big thing, too. I mean, we see a lot with our clients is like strategizing ahead for the future.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm going to use an example, and it's going to be like a super extreme one. But you think about Apple, mm-hmm. right? Apple, to my knowledge, has like their next 3 years planned out.
Sure.
Like they knew years ago that they were going to come out with the Apple One subscription.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, they needed the Apple Watches. And they are so far thought out strategically. And again, I'm talking Apple here, not your typical yeah. small business. So yeah. anybody listen to this, you're fine.
yeah.
But what I'm saying is like, start thinking through the next couple years.
Yeah.
Right. I know, you know, we work with a ton of contractors and they get very, and I was guilty of this when I was in the industry too, they get very sucked into the today.
Yeah.
Getting projects done.
Sure.
Getting this next project set. Like, they get so focused on the day-to-day stuff, they don't step back and look at their business as a whole. They
yeah.
don't think about what next year looks like, mm-hmm. what 2 years looks like, 3 years, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I know some people are like, hey, we want to get a spray shop. We want to get this. We want to, you know, and I'm like, good, you need to start planning out a year or two for that.
Yeah.
Whether you're going to need financing or, you know, you're probably going to in some capacity no yeah. matter what.
Sure.
But you need to plan ahead for that. You need to build your company in a way, but you also need to get your financials set up in a way mm-hmm. to where you're ready for when that comes.
Sure.
So I think that's a big part of it.
Yep, I agree 100%.
So kind of in what way should people be planning ahead? So kind of thinking, you know, ahead with that, thinking through the financials. What is it, you know, that you guys really look for? Is it mostly just the net income of the business, their cash flow? Like when we talk about this planning ahead, what are they planning ahead with and how?
Yeah, yeah, it generally, like I said, you know, what repays our loans and yeah. what we're looking to do is cash.
Yep.
You know? And so we look at cash flow of business, and that can be measured in different ways,
right.
you know, net income, you know, the EBITDAs and yep. all these other kind of metrics and stuff. And, you know, because when we look at lines of credit, we look at the cash conversion cycle. Yep. You know, if you create something, well, you got to use your cash to buy it, to create it. Then when you sell it, you got to get paid. So depending yep. upon that cash conversion cycle, that line of credit
right.
that you use could be how we get paid. So we kind of look at some stuff like that. So we got some bells and whistles and stuff.
Okay.
That we look at, and but yeah, it's mostly, it is mostly the cash flow of the business, okay. You know. And like I said, if you need a down payment for something, a little bit of equity in something, or okay. some cash reserved, and you know, again, communicating, talking yep. with the banker, say, hey, here's what I want to do.
Right.
Here's where I'm at. How does this look?
Yeah.
You know, what do I need to do to get there? Because again, every bank's a little bit different.
Right.
You know, you could be buying a certain piece of equipment and depending upon the marketability of it, say, hey, you know, I'm only comfortable, you know, if you want to put 10% down on that, that's okay because
right.
it doesn't depreciate. Or if it's a very specialized piece of equipment, I might want 25% down.
Right.
And every bank is a little bit different. Your
yep.
bank, you know, depending upon what you're doing. And so having that conversation of, and again, if you don't really have loans with them yet,
yeah.
with that bank, make sure they'll even, you know, they're interested.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
a good point.
Just make sure they're even interested. And, you know, and if you don't, the other way you can do to prepare is, like, ask people in your trade groups or your trade associations, hey, that are doing really well. Hey, who do you bank with?
Yep.
You know, friends or family who own business. Hey,
right.
who do you bank with? You know, what's your banker's name?
That's a good point.
You know, kind of if you start hearing the same name over and over again, hey, that might be someone I want to talk to.
Right. No, that's a good point.
You know,
when I think, you know, I always tell clients, like, cash is king, right?
Yeah.
When in doubt, just have more money to pay them on a down payment.
Yeah.
You know, like, exactly. If you're worried about, like, maybe your profit not being, your net income not being as good last year, your monthly cash flow is a little tighter.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're just going to have to put more money down on it ahead of time. So, again, that goes back into planning ahead and kind of stacking some cash aside. But money talks.
It does.
So, you know, that's what you got to do. That's what you got
to
do, right?
It's good. It's good to have it, you know, as a just in case if you need it.
And I think it goes for anything. We talked about that with the mortgage conversation too.
Yeah.
You know, just have it there. And if you need to pull a little bit more for it to get qualified, then you're ready to go. It's better to have it, not need it, than to not have it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because we have people that had a good chunk of cash. They put it out of the company to buy a new personal car. Well, now you don't have cash.
Yeah. Now it's gone.
It's
And that goes back to thinking ahead in the strategy and, and figuring that stuff out.
If you're looking to buy something in the next 6 months, you just depleted all your cash, well, now it's going to be tough.
Yeah, no, that's a good
point. It's going to make it tough.
That's a good point. Well, as we kind of wrap up here today, you know, what's one final piece of advice you'd give small business owners? And this can be kind of something you've already talked about here throughout the day.
Yeah.
But I just like to highlight, like, if there's one main point you want listeners to get out of this episode, what would that be?
So I'm kind of going to dovetail into what you said earlier about strategy.
Yep.
You know, and that's what happens all the time, you know, and that's what I do at my job. I get so concentrated, or the business owner gets so concentrated on getting this project done or getting through the day of what they've got to get done that they're not focusing on strategy.
Right.
You know, where do I want to be at in 5 years and what steps do I need to take to get there?
Yep.
You know, whether it's some sort of revenue number, you know, I want to have, you know, X amount of crews working or X amount of, like, people locations working for me or locations, whatever it is. You know, every business has, or I want to wind down, you know, I'm getting close to retirement or something like that. What do I need to do to get there and to plan for that? Because what happens a lot of times is something happens that you didn't plan for. You're not set up to be able to, like, okay, well, we're fine. Yeah. We can adjust, move this here. And so one piece of advice that I would tell folks to kind of help with that is really have a good group of professional people to help you with that.
Right.
You know, banker, accountant, attorney, insurance, business coach,
right,
whatever it is to help with help you with that strategy piece of
That's
it.
A good call.
Or maybe help with some of the day-to-day stuff.
No.
You know, I'm a pretty hands-on banker.
Yeah.
You know, I just am. Some
I like
aren't.
That about you.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, if you deal with a bigger bank, you're not going to get that hands-on piece.
Right.
And that's okay. If you're just coming for a car loan, you want the best rate, that's probably, you know, probably should go to a big bank. But if you want someone to, like, hey, Matt, this is what I'm thinking about doing, bouncing off ideas, I can help with that.
Yep.
Same way with a good accountant. You know, some accountants just want to, they're just...
Do your taxes.
Do your taxes and call it a day.
Yep.
But some are really good at strategizing about what to do to maximize the profit of your business or whatever it is that you're trying to do to help you so that you can focus a little bit more on strategy, you know, with the professionals, and they can take some of the day-to-day off you.
That's good.
As well.
That's a good point. That was a perfect promotion because our next episode is all going to be a tax strategist talking about all of that.
Perfect.
So thanks for plugging that. Michael, appreciate that.
I was not
that,
aware of that. So,
I know.
Yeah.
But no, that's awesome. Well, no, I really appreciate you being here. I appreciate all the insight, the education and stuff. You've got a lot of knowledge about the commercial lending world and stuff. So go ahead, plug yourself. How can people get a hold of you? If they've got questions, if they need help with something, how can they? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
So I would say the best way to get a hold of me, just go to carrolltonbanking.com.
Okay.
So it's two R's and two L's in carrolltonbanking.com. You'll see, you know, we have, you know, 12 locations. I'm, like awesome. I said, I'm in the Edwardsville location.
Cool.
Feel free to click on Edwardsville. There's a little picture of me, a little bio. My contact information is there.
Awesome.
And what I say to, you know, what I tell some people is, you know, we do have 12 locations, and a lot of our commercial bankers are just like me.
Yeah.
And let's say you're in South County or West County, whatever, and say, hey, you know, Matt sounds like he'd be great, but he's just kind of too far away from me. You know, we got locations in Arnold, St. Charles, St. Louis Hill, all over the place. Alton, Springfield, Illinois. And, you know, it's like, you know, click on somebody there. You know, if that's somebody, you know, like, hey, this is a little bit closer. I want somebody I can drop in and talk to.
Right.
Don't want to drive all the way to Edwardsville. Be more than happy to, you know, if you want to call me, I can introduce you to somebody as well.
Cool.
But, yeah, you can find all of our information there. Really great story of Carrollton Bank is in there.
It's
You'll see
awesome
it. It is a neat story. So, especially if you're you know, we started as a, I mean, we still are a small business, but started as a smaller bank, and we've grown to what we've grown today. So
it's awesome. Well, I'll put a link to that in the notes here in the podcast.
That'd be great. And, I appreciate that.
As I said, I appreciate you taking time to come over here and record this with us, and look forward to getting around to golfing with you soon.
Sounds good. Sounds awesome. Like a plan.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Chris.
PaintEd podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and is made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.